And Memorial Day is when we recognize those who have fought and died through many wars and conflicts our country has been engaged in. And how many of you know that, wars are terrible? As something that should be avoided at all costs, but sometimes wars are necessary. I hate to think that, but sometimes it has to happen. I don't know, I'm not going to get on to that, but I just know that wars are fought on battlefields. So when I grew up, my dad, he had this work project, and we lived in Ohio, and we moved to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. Any history buffs, you understand there was some significant battle that took place in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and so I didn't understand everything. I just thought it was cool. Man, we go out on the battlefield, and there was these cannons, and there was these monuments of these soldiers, and it was just the coolest thing, but I didn't quite understand until I got a little bit older and studied history. I'm like, whoa, like this was pretty significant. This battlefield, it was pretty important. If you know anything about Civil War history, you know that the South, the Confederates, they were really taking it to the Union, and they just were only a few miles from Washington, D.C., and they could have won the war had they won at the Battle of Gettysburg. But Gettysburg was the turning point. What happened on that battlefield changed the momentum of the war. That's what battlefields do. They're important. I just want to, had the Union not shown up and had they not fought that battle, we would be living in a very different United States of America. As a matter of fact, we would all be talking with a Southern accent a little bit here. It would just be different. You see, battlefields are where wars are either won or they are lost. And so these past few weeks, we have been talking about battlefield, but we've been talking about a battlefield that is in your mind and how we fight and how we engage in this battlefield of the mind really determines how we win or lose the war. Greg Rochelle said this, Winning the War in Your Mind, which is a great book. Okay, I read this book a couple of times here, Winning the War in Your Mind. Greg Rochelle, he says, your mind is a battlefield. Everybody say battlefield. It's right up here. Just point at it, right up here. It's a battlefield. And the battle for your life, the battle for your life is always won or lost in the mind. Everybody do this one more time. It's either won or lost up here. My thoughts, what I think. And you cannot change what you do not confront. Ooh, can't change this. You can't change the way the battle's going on until you confront the enemy. And so we talked about this before. There's a battle that's going on for your life. If you're new to this sermon series, there's a battle that's going on for your soul, and it's taking place in your mind. And so inside your mind, we talked about this before, it just seems like there's this good guy, and he loves you, and he cares about you. He's got plans for your life, and he's just giving you direction and guidance and speaking life into you. And then there's this other guy, right? It's like those two angels on your shoulders. And there's that other guy, and he's always speaking like condemnation, and he's always speaking doubt. He's always speaking fear and always tempting you to do things that, if I do that, I'm only going to have problems in my life. And we know that he is an adversary. Satan is the adversary. And he has minions who are working behind the scenes. And his objective is to convince you, talk you into doing things that you know will destroy your life. And so that's why this is so important. It's so important. The way that we think affects how we believe, and what we believe affects how we live. And I just want you to know, if we're looking at God's word, today we're going to be talking about confronting the enemy. I think it's about time that we get tired of being smacked around. I think too often we just allow the enemy to just run his mouth and just keep going on and throwing his punches at us, and we get beat up by the enemy. Even Paul, he tells us this in Ephesians 6:12. He says, we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies here, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. So whether you realize it or not, you're in a battle, and it is a spiritual battle. And again, the battle takes place in your minds, and I want you to know the enemy, Satan, is playing for keeps. He's playing for keeps. And so he has many tactics here. How many of you, anybody ever been, it's a weird question, anybody ever here been punched in the nose before? Like, boink, he comes out of nowhere. It hurts, and that stinging feeling, it gets bopped in the nose, and what'd you do that for? You know, and so somebody punched you, okay? And so I want you to know, Satan, he's out there, and he's got his dukes up, and he's throwing punches every single day. And you're like, ah, that stung. And we know that here's a couple of the punches. He's throwing lies every time. He's got lies. Everyone put your dukes up here. He's throwing lies. Because the Bible says he's a great deceiver. I talked about this the other week. He's a compulsive liar. And a compulsive liar is a lying liar who loves to lie a lot. You just put that down in your notes. He's a lying liar who loves to lie a lot. And he's constantly throwing lies our way to convince us to believe lies that are not true. And one of the ways that he loves to do, he loves to get us thinking in opposites. And one of the things he likes to do is like, you know, hey, black is white. No, wait. And white is black. What? Wrong is right, and right is wrong. But that's not true. God doesn't care about you. You're worthless. You're no good. Your life is hopeless. God, you are not loved. Greg Rochelle says this. Here's why it's so important for us to recognize the lies of the deceiver. He says, a lie believed as truth will affect your life as if it were true. Let me say that one more time. A lie believed as truth will affect your life as if it were true. So in other words, if we receive lies from the enemy and we believe those lies, we will begin to live that lie. And I'm just going to say, some of you are living lies today. You've been confused. You have believed in the opposites of what is true. Here's another punch that he throws at us. He throws temptations our way. And what he does is he's like, hey, that over there. And what it does is he alerts us to things that could, man, if I just had that, I would have a lot of pleasure in my life, and that would make my life better. But we know if we go down that road, it really leads to problems and pain. He likes to punch us with worries and fears and anxiousness because he knows fear is the opposite of faith. He loves to throw discouragement our way. And I was talking to somebody the other day about discouragement. Okay, you know, we've all been discouraged before, but he just wants us to stay in that place of discouragement. So he's constantly punching, keep us in that land of discouragement. He loves to punch us with division. So he's the great divider, and he loves it when you are divided in your marriage. He loves it when there's division in friendships or in your family. He just loves that tension. Oh, he loves when there is division in a church. Oh, that is one of his favorites. He's lying, causing division. He loves it. One of his punches is jealousy and envy. In other words, he gets us to want to have what I don't have, what you have. Man, I wish I had more of that. And then all of a sudden we lose focus off of God. And we focus on those things. So that's just a few of the punches that Satan is throwing away. But listen to what the Apostle Paul says here, 2 Corinthians 10. He says, for though we live in this world, we don't wage war as the world does. So here's the deal. We cannot fight back like we fight each other. All right? So when if somebody came up to me and they're like, hey, let's duke it out. Like, well, he punches me in the nose and I bop him in the nose. And then he says, he mouths off to me, and I mouth off to him. And that's typically how fights go, right? And he tries to outwit me, and I try to outwit him, and out-hit me, out-gun, out-spend. That's how we do it here on earth. But Paul said, no, that's not how it works. It's not how it works. You see, you don't fight spiritual battles this way. He says the weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power. Everybody say power. They have divine power to demolish strongholds. Listen to me. We're talking about spiritual warfare, and you can only fight spiritual battles through spiritual means. If you get anything out of this message today, understand that. If you're going to engage in spiritual battle, you can only engage it through spiritual means. So, and I just tell you this morning, whatever you do, don't just stand there. You don't have to take it off of the enemy anymore. It's time to fight back. How many of you grew up watching old school Batman? Old school Batman. Anybody? And for some of those who are younger people in the crowd here, I'm going to educate you. This is what we grew up. This was Saturday morning, our after school programming that we got to watch a Batman. Here's a little scene of what goes on with Batman. I'm sorry, that was a PG-13. I should have put that out there before you watched all that violence there. How many of you remember that? Pow! Kaboom! Just add that extra effect here. Well, we might have some more extra effects in the rest of this message today, but Batman, he was powerful, man, because he had what he called a knockout punch. Batman, I mean, he just got sick and tired of these guys coming at him, and he, kabow, right? He had a knock. Everybody know what a knockout punch is in a boxing ring? The guy who just gives him the kabow, and the guy goes down. And the ump is one, two, and he's got 10 seconds to get up, and that guy is just phased. How many of you ever, I don't want to ask, I don't want to know. But you've been in that place before, and he just can't fight anymore. I just want you to know, folks, you are not defenseless. Because just as Satan has thrown his jabs at you, you got some punches to give back to him. Did you know that? You got some punches. You don't have to sit there and take it anymore. You have some power punches in your pocket today. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. You got a triple P. Everybody say triple P. You got some triple P knockout punches here. I told you last week we were going to have fun, right? So we're going to have fun here today, so you'll just have to excuse me. We got some triple P knockout punches. Let me show this picture here. We got Batman and Robin. We got some punching that we can give back to the enemy. How many of you want to know what those punches are? I'm about to tell you here. I want you to know the first punch that you have, and it's a knockout punch. The enemy cannot stand this one, is when you give God praise. Everybody say praise. Praise is worship. I want you to know you are made to worship. And I just want you to admit it right now, right here now. Everybody is worshiping something or somebody. Whether you want to argue with that or not, I'm telling you, we are worshipers and we are worshiping something or someone. And that something or someone, that's where we find our strength and our power from. And I want to challenge you that we have praise when we worship, we have power when we worship God. Your praise and worship of God is given to you by God as a weapon. So I just want you to know that just a little while ago, the worship was great this morning. Can we give it up for our worship team? Yeah, give it up for our worship team. So we start off all of our services with worship, because how many of you have recognized sometimes coming to church, you come to church and you're walking across that. I watch you in the windows, and you're just rah, 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 rah. You're just Krabby Dabby, and you know, had Krabby Patties for breakfast in the morning. And then you come in and you see the pastor. Hey, pastor, how's it going? You know, and you're just, and then you sit down in your chair, and it's cold in here, it's hot in here, and then all of a sudden the worship goes like, yeah, it's too loud, or it's too quiet. That's not my favorite song, but all of a sudden something gets you. And then you just, all right. And then you're looking at the words like, yeah, that's true. And then you might pull one of these. Right? And you just begin to worship, and you begin to give praise, and all of a sudden, how many of you recognize something takes place inside of your brain? You know what you're doing? You're getting activated in worship and praise here. And listen to what Paul says here. The Apostle Paul tells us this. Get ready for a punch here. Philippians 4:4, he says, rejoice. The word rejoice means to give praise. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say it, rejoice. You know what? Pow! Do you see what just happened there? Pow! Man, the enemy cannot stand it when you speak praises. He cannot stand, man, when every time that you do that, you have just socked him in the nose. Every time that you engage in worship, whether things are going bad or things are going good, we need to give God praise. Praise is heartfelt expression of admiration, gratitude, and reverence to God. It's our way of acknowledging and celebrating. You are God, and I am not. We recognize what he has done. There's a really cool story in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 20 through 22. He says, the whole premise of this story is to recognize that you have power and praise. I want to demonstrate for this. So what has happened here is Israel is being attacked by the multiple enemies that are coming their way. King Jehoshaphat, maybe some of you're going to have kids here and you're looking for a cool Bible name, maybe you consider Jehoshaphat, okay? King Jehoshaphat, he prayed and sought God. You know, God, we got these enemies coming this way. And, you know, what do we do? And so this prophet comes and speaks to him and says, you're going to win this war. You're going to win this battle. He got this prophecy, and he says, you know what? This is what we're going to do. God is going to give us victory. This is what we're going to do. Verses 20 through 22, it says, early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed. Okay, so check out how he chooses to fight this physical battle. It's a physical battle, right? You got this physical army coming your way. It's overwhelming. And he says, you know what? We're going to fight this physical battle with spiritual means. We're going to change the channel here. We're going to do this a little bit different. 21, verse 21. After consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord, his faithful love endures forever. So instead of Jehoshaphat sending out his elite forces, he sends out his worship team. Now in the flesh, like, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't, and that's really what a lot of spiritual warfare, that doesn't make sense in the mind. But it makes all the sense in the world. They led the army into battle with praise and worship. What would happen if we began to start our day? Before we go into battle, we would start our day with worship and praise. Now look what happened here, verse 22. At the very moment, they began to sing and give praise to God, just like we just did here. And it caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. Are you ready for it? Bang! Bam. That was the word. Bam! Phew. That's a knockout punch. That is right between the eyes. You see, in a spirit of confusion, these armies, like God, just begin to intervene through their praise and through their worship. And they began to defeat themselves. And they didn't have, the whole army of Jerusalem, they didn't even have to lift their arms, their battles, their instruments for worship. Here's a couple, here's what their worship songs may have sounded like. If you read through the book of Psalms, you see a lot of worship songs. And I love this one, Psalm 145, 1 through 3. Just imagine, you know, here's an example of worship. I will exalt you, my God and King. I will praise your name forever and ever. I will praise you every day. Yes, I will praise you forever. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness. You know, you can, you don't know how to praise God. you can open up your Bible and just start proclaiming the praises that are found in your Bible. And when you do this, you're leading with praise. You see, when we give God praise, we're submitting to God and to His power. And we're proclaiming who He is. And when we proclaim who He is, we recognize who we are not. I'm going to just give you quickly here some ways to praise. Ways to praise. One of the first ways that you can praise is to speak it. I want you everybody practice. We're going to practice some praise here right now. I just want everybody to repeat after me. I want everybody to say, thank you, God, on the count of three. One, two, three.
Thank you, God.
Yeah, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Whether things are going good, whether things are going bad. I was just at an emergency situation. You've heard about the drowning that took place here 2 weeks ago of a young man. And I was there when the young man passed away, and his father is with me. The father is a Jesus follower. And just imagine the grief. He just lost his son, and all he can do is just say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. In the midst of his grieving, in the midst of his sorrow, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for the gift of my son. Whew. That's speaking praise. One of the other ways that we do is that we sing it. We just sang it this morning, and we just all recognize, yeah, that's sometimes just singing or just listening to worship music. I love it. Listening to my wife getting ready each and every day, just the worship songs that she's listening to, transforming, renewing of her mind, worship music. And the other ways we can express it, if you're new to Thrive Church, you might say, man, that's kind of a clappy, happy church. Okay, you're giving clapping all the time. You know what we're doing? We're giving praise to God. Can we give praise to God right now? Thank you, God. We give Him praise. We're praising Him. You know what? We do a lot of singing at this church. One of the other things is we lift our hands. And that might be new to some of you. So here's what hand raising means. This is new. I just want to encourage you to engage in hand raising. But first of all, here a couple, three things that hand raising is. All right? Some of you are like, what? Go to this church, raise your hand. First of all, it's an act of surrender. I'm not surrendering to the enemy. I'm surrendering to God. God, all that you, I just surrender my will for your will. Man, that's a great thing to do when you start surrendering to God. And the second thing that you're doing is like, everybody kind of not change your hands like this now. Lord, will you fill me? I'm a cup here. And I just want you to fill me with all that you have, all that you are. I want you to fill me. But then it's another thing. It is exaltation. And how many of you have been to Lambeau Field? You don't even have to be to Lambeau Field. But if you're a Packer fan here, you know all about it. When they score that touchdown, that winning touchdown, everybody goes, yeah! Everybody do that. Yes! Yes! And you lift up your hands, and then you give high fives to people, you give high tens to people, complete strangers you do not know, and you're lifting up your hands. So if you want to know how to express praise to God, just do what you would do at a Packer game. Yes, I can't believe they won it. Yes, I can. I'm going to express it. Thank you, God. Yes. So why are we so eager to do that at a Packer game? But why do we not do that to a living God? There's power in our praise. And then the other way is that we live it. Paul tells us, I plead with you to give your bodies, your life to God, because all He has done for you, let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship God. Quickly here, seven minutes of praise a day. You've done research on this. 7 minutes of praise a day will change your brain. Quickly here, it increases growth in healthy brain cells. You can study this yourself. It increases wisdom and knowledge and understanding, and it increases mental health. Let me continue here. Three knockout punches that we're talking about. First of all is the knockout punch of praise. The second one, knockout punch of prayer. Prayer. Everybody say prayer. Okay, I'm telling you, that puts a punch right in the middle of his nose. Man, it stings when it happens. But throughout the Bible, God tells us to pray. And prayer is simply this, communication or connection with God. When you pray, you're just communicating with Him. Communication is not only speaking, but it is listening. And it demonstrates that when we pray, we believe in God. And it's building that relationship. We're seeking wisdom and direction, but we're also requesting intervention. And James tells us this, listen to me. James, Jesus' brother, he says, you want to know the reason why you're not seeing answers happen in your life? It's because you're not asking. You're not praying. You're not praying. We're called to pray, be warrior, prayer warriors. Again, getting back to Philippians 4, 6 through 7, he says, the Apostle Paul says, don't worry about anything. I'm going to just stop right here. Don't worry about anything. Remember that punch? Remember that punch I was telling you about that the enemy likes to give us? Fear, worry, anxiety. And Paul's like, no, you don't have to take that punch off of him. No. Instead, when that punch comes your way, you start to pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Now, I know we've got some military veterans here. Some of you who have served in the army, or you've been on the battlefield yourself, and you may know, you may have been in a position where you were pinned down, okay? You got ambushed, okay? And you were going into a patrol, and you got ambushed, and, you know, the enemy's all around you, and you got this one call that you can make, and you can call headquarters, and you can call it in. You can call down hellfire on this group of people, and you just call in the coordinates, and then you just sit back and watch, right? And we just know that artillery is kaboom, 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 kaboom. And you didn't have to do anything. Just call it in. And some of you, you're trying to fight the enemy on your own when really God's saying, would you just call it in for me? Because I got this. I got this. You don't have the big guns that I have. Will you just call it in? Everybody say, call it in. I'm going to call it in. And so... Then he says, then, when you pray, when you call it in, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Ready? Bang! 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 You don't have to put up with it. I'm telling you. We don't have to sit back and take it anymore. But God wants to give, you don't have to live in turmoil and fear and worry. But God wants you to have peace. Peace. So what does this look like? Peter tells us this, 1 Peter 5, 6 through 7. Here's how we do that. First of all, you have to humble yourselves. We have to humble ourselves. Prayer takes humility. Humility is like, Man, this battle is too big for me. I have no business trying. I'm trying to engage in it in physical ways and means, and it's not working. I need to call it in. I need to humble myself and recognize I cannot win this battle on my own. I need to call it in. And then he says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. And then he says, I want you to cast all of your anxiety, your fears, your worries, your doubts, your insecurities, all those little punches the enemy's throwing your way, I want you to cast that on him. I want you to pray because he cares on you. Now, that word cast, it literally, it's to throw. It's throw it. Just imagine throwing your problems at God. God, I can't take this anymore. You take it. It's literally what it means. You take it. And what you're doing is like, God, I can't take this anymore. God, you take it over. You take it over. You know exactly what's going on here. You take it over. And when you do that, when you cast your cares on him, what you're doing is you're releasing control. You are letting God, you let go and you let God. That's what you're doing. And then you trust that God is working on your behalf. Listen to me. The Bible is full of stories of people in impossible situations who did that exact same thing. Like, oh, my word. Oh, I can't. And Lord, I cast this on you. I ask for you to intervene. I ask for your power. I ask for your might. God, I can't handle this disease. I can't handle this flood. I can't handle these financial issues. I cast it unto you. Can we just practice that on the count of three? Let's cast. One, two, three. I cast it. I give it to you, Lord. Prayer changes us. There's been a study we want to be scientific about it. Study by the name of Dr. Andrew Newberg. He says prayer is like a physical workout for the brain, and it changes our chemistry. Dr. Caroline Leaf says this. It has been found that 12 minutes a day on focused prayer over an 8-week period can change the brain so much to an extent that it can be measured on a brain scan. Isn't that crazy? This type of prayer increases activity in our brain areas associated with social interaction, compassion, and sensitivity to others. It also increases frontal lobe activity as focus and intentionality increases. We were built to praise. We were built for prayer. The third knockout punch I want to talk to you this morning is about proclaiming His word. To boldly proclaim God's truths and His promises. Now, God's word, we talked about this before, it's one of these. Everybody got one of these this morning. Go ahead and hold up one of these. Hold up your phone if you're using your phone as your Bible this morning, okay? So you got one of these. It's God's word. And it reveals to us, God's word reveals to us His truths, His promises, and His directions. Let me say that one more time. In God's word, we discover His truths. We discover His promises, and we discover His direction for our lives. Now listen to how the writer of Hebrews describes the word of God. He says, for the word of God, talking about your Bible, again, hold your Bible in your hands right now. I want you to hear what he says about the Bible in your hands. He says, it's alive, and it's powerful. It's sharper than any, sharper than a two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and our desires. On the count of three, one, two, three, kapow! Power. There's power in the Word of God. You see, the Bible is more than a historical events of records of people, but it is alive. It has life, and it gives life. It's alive because God is alive. Let me say that one more time because that was really good. It is alive because God is alive. It's powerful. See, the enemy cannot stand it when you remind him of God's truths and His promises. Now, I don't know if you've ever walked into a building before. Hopefully it's not in your house. Maybe your garage. And you walk into the garage and it's really dark in there, and you turn the light switch on, and all these little creatures go bink. Little mice, little rats, little insects, bink. And they go for cover. You know why? Because they can't stand the light. Because they know what will happen to them if they stay in the light, right? Bad things happen. They can't stand the light. And that's the same thing as it is with the enemy. Satan, when you start to proclaim his truth, the enemy cannot stand the light. You're exposing light on the situation that is sharper than any double-edged sword. You know what that means there? This thing, it's a weapon. It's an offensive weapon. As I said before, you don't have to be defensive. Why sit there and take the beatings when you got a weapon in your hands? And we just need to learn to use this weapon. And what it does is it exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. It reveals truth. It separates fact from fiction. It's powerful. So what does it mean? What does it mean to proclaim God's word? I do this just about every time I'm in prayer. Go on my prayer walk. I just begin to proclaim the truths that I've discovered in God's word. And God's word tells me this, that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. That's another pow. That greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. That's another bang upside the head. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love and God are called according to his purposes. My God is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we can think or imagine. With God, all things are possible. I am a child of God. I am loved. I am secure. Where did I get those ideas? From God's word. And what I'm doing is I'm because These thoughts that I just share with you, many times I wake up and it does the opposite of what I'm thinking. Because it seems like the enemy, he just starts his chatter right away in the morning. And he's telling me the opposite of these things. And if I'm not careful, if I don't do something, I'll start to believe his lies. But when I begin to proclaim, no, that's not what God's word says. No, I'm not going to argue with you. Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Are you guys following me this morning? Where do I get this idea of proclaiming God's word? Well, the example comes from Jesus. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is starting his ministry. It's 40 days in a desert, prayer and fasting. And Satan starts to come with him with temptations. Because he's got his little dukes up. And I'm going to go after Jesus, man. Jesus is tired, he's weak. I'm going to go after him. And so it says that he tempts him three times. He tempts him with his flesh. Hey, Jesus, why don't you, you're really hungry. Why don't you turn those stones into bread? If you're like really Jesus, the Son of God, you can do that. And then he said, hey, Jesus, why don't you jump off this wall and you just tell the angels to protect you? And they'll have to do that. Hey, Jesus, you know how he does. Hey, Jesus, if you're Jesus, you're really the Son of God. All you have to do is bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all the world. You see that little chatter? You recognize some of those tempting you with your eyes, tempting you with your pride, tempting you with your desires? And each and every time, Jesus responded with the truth of God's word. And he said this. He started the sentence. He wouldn't talk long, but he says, Satan, it is written. Can we just say that all together? It is written. And then he would begin to explain, Satan, this is what God's word says. This is why I'm not going to turn those stones into bread. This is why I'm not going to jump off this wall. This is why I'm not going to bow down to you. Because it is written. Can we do that? Kapow! It's written. It's written. And then in Matthew 4, 11, it's not in your notes. You know what it says here? After that little skirmish, after those bang, 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 then the devil went away. Verse 11, then the devil went away. So here's what you need to know about proclaiming God's word. Okay, we're almost finished here. I tell you this about God's word. Every single one of us, if you're a Jesus follower this morning, you cannot proclaim something you don't know. You can't proclaim God's word if you don't know God's word. You cannot proclaim something you don't believe. And number three, you cannot proclaim something you don't understand. That's what I want to encourage you folks every month to put out this SOAP reading plan. It's a SOAP reading plan. It's a scripture observation application prayer. You need a Bible reading plan. I just want to encourage you, get some word in you every day so that when Satan comes your way, like, no, I remember God telling me, bang, bang. All right, three knockout punches. Are you ready? Three knockout punches that each and every one of you has in your arsenal today. Number one weapon that you have right now is praise. There is power in your praise. And number two, and the second punch, and it's, oh man, it's a doozy. Okay, you got prayer. You can call it in. You can call it in as a God. God, I need help. God, I need healing. God, I need encouragement. God, I need you. Prayer is the most powerful thing that you can do here on earth. And number three, we got another knockout punch, and Satan hates this one. It's when you remind him of God's truth, and I'm going to proclaim his word. Everybody say, proclaim his word. In Jesus' name. You have all of these powerful punches, and it starts with your relationship with God. If you do not have a relationship with God, you are powerless, okay? You're powerless. Maybe you're here today and you do not have a relationship with God. That's God's greatest desire, is to have a relationship with you. You can invite him into your life, and that power, through the power of the Holy Spirit, will fill you. If that's you today and you would like to invite Jesus into your life, will you just pray this prayer with me this morning? on, just bow your heads. I don't know where you are in your faith journey, but just say, God, I need you. God, I feel like I have been powerless for so long. And I recognize today, I humble myself and I invite you to come live inside of me, to change me from the inside out. Forgive me of my sins. I choose today to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.